Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Enjoy this episode of Low Moon Palace Pages.
Hello. Welcome to Palace Pages, January 2024, the first Sunday in January. It's the first session in 2024. When we left the Palace Pages last time, we had introduced a new young elven merchant girl, basically, who has some magical capabilities, and her name is Rosie, and she's played by Coriana, and she is here today. And then we have Dan, and we have
Selena,
and the three of them were approaching in the middle of the night, mind you, the wee hours of the morning, in the dark of the night. You can hear the sound effects for the landscape outside. They were approaching the large old willow tree, which Dan and Selena had visited earlier in the day, but they had only been there for a moment, just long enough for Selena to feed a squirrel some crackers from her iron rations, and then they were gone again. But then while Selena was sleeping in the tiny hostel room at the inn, which was really basically like a converted closet, didn't have a window, or had a window, but it was a very small window, that's right. Anyway, while they were staying there, Selena had a dream of them approaching the tree, and in her dream, as you're coming around the tree, you saw a glowing light, and each time in her dream, she was not able to actually see. Don't give her so much light. You carefully call it sweet. Good idea. Okay. Anyway, and so she never saw what the glowing thing was in the dark under the willow tree. But she was able to convince, with very little effort, Rosie and Dan to accompany her, and the three of them left in the middle of the night, sneaking past the guards in the quiet little roadside town.
Guys, we did that.
And out across the countryside, across the stream, walking in the high grasses, and arrived at the tree. You pushed your way through the long strands of the willow tree's branches, and worked your way up over the knotty roots, and came around to just where in your dream you had seen a glow. And it was at that moment that we stopped, that impending moment that we stopped. And I was so excited to see what the glow was. Okay?
So now we continue.
Palace Pages continues.
Yeah!
Just to clarify, does anyone have a weapon in hand?
Yes.
Yes, I have my staff.
Okay.
Staff, like...
You have a weapon?
No.
On your character, she does. Have a weapon. She has a staff, I think. Yep, I see a staff. So, do you have your staff in hand? Okay. And do you have a weapon?
I have my sword and my staff.
You have your sword in your right hand?
I have this staff.
I don't have my sword in hand. I have my staff in hand.
Okay, just your staff.
I have
this
staff.
Okay. All right, so all three of you are approaching the tree with staffs in hand. And you kind of like suspensefully, you can see the glow when you're coming around until you can see it. Okay?
But before I walk and to see the glow, I do put my staff away and draw a sword.
So are you going to tell them to hold up, or are they going without you?
They can just walk.
Okay, so you've fallen slightly behind, is what you're saying.
Just to draw my sword and...
So it is actually Selena and Rosie who are coming around the tree together, as Dan has fallen back slightly to ship his staff and draw his sword. Okay.
Bam.
And then I jog up next to them.
Button. Where is it at here? Here it is. Dramatic note. Ready? Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Not very loud. remind me to charge this up. Okay. Anyway, oh, I think this would be louder if we did this. Here we go. Okay. What you see on the tree there, you see kind of a short, gnarly branch that's about like 6 inches long, and it sticks out off the backside of the tree. And then below the branch is like a large knot hole, like where a branch used to be, and it's roundabout like that. And then up and to the left of the branch is another sort of indentation. It looks like a knot hole, but it's oval. And then up to the right, there's another one that looks like a knot hole, and it's oval. And then as you step up, the glow flickers slightly, and you see that the glow is coming from the two oval knot holes at the top, which in your mind's eye basically are the eyes. And you realize there is sort of a face on the back side of the tree. And the eyes are glowing with a bluish-green light. Okay? Now, you're a little back from them, so you don't at first see it when it opens its eyes, but you can see the light playing on the side of their face and like that as they're looking up at it. The face says, "You've come." And you see that the mouth, which is that bottom round knot hole, opens and closes. Now, when it opens, the space inside it is never very deep. Like it's only like 2 inches, 3 inches deep. Like it's got like kind of rounded lips. And when it's completely open, it looks like this. But when it closes on like the M and the C, it's smaller. Okay? And it says, "You've come."
Yes, and I have come.
And you've brought someone with you.
They're my friends.
The eyes flip, the eyelids flick shut slightly, and then he appears to be looking directly at Rosie. Dan steps up behind at that point with his sword in hand.
And this is it.
Yes. I see you. I was told that there would be three.
By who?
Me.
The creatures of the wood speak to you.
But
why do you have a sword? Are you afraid?
Kinda.
You needn't to be afraid of me.
Okay.
He says, "Good lad. I have stood here for hundreds of years."
You're a tree. How could you move? Is that why you said you stood here for hundreds of years?
You are an inquisitive lad. With many words.
Sorry, I'm just very confused. I'm very tired.
Why are you so tired? Do you not sleep?
We tried, but I had dreams, and we went to bed not even a half an hour ago.
Well, that is this night. Did you not sleep last night? Or during the day?
Barely. We did walking half the time.
We are coming from...
Didn't you sleep yesterday?
We did walking half the time, too.
I forget how frail elves are.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
You are welcome. I'm not just going to ignore a magical voice.
Honestly, she ran out of the room and we kind of just followed.
Yeah, you kind of dragged me off the bed. Making me hit my head and my head still hurts.
All right.
What I called you for, I've called others. And they did not come. Here you stand. 1, 2, 3. Just as the Lord of the Chipmunks has spoken.
Chipmunks?
I said a chipmunk, some flowers.
Yes. He is a friend. He visits me often.
That's nice.
So,
sadly, you will not be able to visit me often. It would draw suspicion.
Okay.
Men do have a way of doing damage to trees. Men who fear usually have axes. And I know my trunk has grown wide, long enough, wide enough, to serve as some drunken lord's grand table. That must not happen.
So, you're saying people are cutting down the forest with axes?
Just to be clear, you're not in a forest. You're in an open field, fields all around. There is a forest a few miles away, but there's no forest here, just him. But he's big. He's like,
yeah, that's why I said okay. People are cutting down forest.
I'm just clarifying. Okay.
All right.
He says, yes, this whole land was once filled with friends of mine. And in the last 150 years, men have swept the landscape clear of my kind.
Why are you still alive? How did you survive?
I do not know, except I believe I have been reserved for some great fate.
Is it possible it was mine?
You mean linked to you in somehow? Like roots entwined beneath the surface?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Sorry for me asking this. When you mean your kind, you mean other trees or other willow trees?
Pardon me. He says, both.
So, yes. There are no other willow trees like me within the reach of my roots. You know that a willow tree's roots can reach literally miles. So he says within reach. He means probably not in the forest either.
Yeah.
And yet,
I assume they don't know that.
I remain probably not because you got it from your druidic training. So unless they happen to have a lot of forest knowledge.
Their roots reach very far, by the way.
Okay. He says, their roots reach very far, by the way.
And by chance to know how far?
Miles.
What?
They need lots of water to grow.
My roots reach what remains of the great southern forest, and then intertwine with the young saplings along the east road. I am aware of everything that happens in the wood and in the fields as far as the southern sea. As far as the eastern sea, the southern mountains, the great new fortress near what humans call their capital. So in your head, you're picturing, and you're pretty knowledgeable about the map in general because you've done, your family does a lot of traveling. So there's the capital, Southern Mist Cove, North Diamond Cove, right? And you're kind of like right here, right now. So he's saying, by his roots or by roots he's connected to of other trees, he can know what's going on all the way back to the capital, which is over here, and all the way over to the coast, which is over here, and all the way to the mountains, which is down here. So that's a huge area.
Wow.
He says, some things happen which I disapprove of. The young perish, trees and men alike. Dragons have returned. The likes that I had not seen in my entire lifetime. I only know of them because the trees in the sage's grove
tell me of the books that the sage reads when he rests in the shade. But I do know of them, and they scare me, not enough to take up arms, but enough to want to do something about it. I am asking you to be my fleshly representatives. I will provide the information, the knowledge. And if you are willing, you will help me undo these injustices. I have all the time in the world, but I am bothered by incessant reports of wickedness. Evil should not reign across the land. Neither should good, for good becomes evil when it becomes too strong. But at the moment, I believe the good humans are unaware of the evil of which I speak. I now see before me three who are quite young on the scale of grown elves and men. Perhaps this is why you answered my call, because you have not stopped dreaming yet. Will you serve me? Will you serve my cause?
Of course. Your nature and you are my friend.
What of you, scared one? Will you serve me?
Yes. My friend, girl, I will.
Girl with the aching head, will you serve me?
I giggle a little bit, but I don't actually laugh that hard. I giggle a little bit.
I start laughing.
I am very pleased. For 1,000 sunsets, I have sought someone who would hear an answer. And now, I no longer stand alone. While your young bones are still supple and strong, I would that you should right these wrongs. You will have to gather allies, some who will listen to you. You will never be able to tell them that you are working with or for me. You will never be able to tell anyone. Have you ever heard the fable of the goose that laid the golden egg?
I'm pretty sure I put it in Jewish thing, and I put it in your life thing.
The story is simple. Men who had a goose that laid golden eggs. And they fed the goose, and the goose laid even more golden eggs. Oh. One day they got the idea that if the goose could lay golden eggs, if they cut it apart, they could be even richer, find out how it laid golden eggs, make more geese that laid golden eggs, find even more wealth. And they wouldn't have to wait for the goose all the time. So they killed the goose, and they received no more golden eggs and no more knowledge. I fear that I will be seen as the goose. Do you understand me?
Yes.
For this reason, our allegiance must remain secret.
Yeah.
A wizard could make a very fine staff of my branches. An archer could make very fine arrows from my thin branches. My trunk, great tables for kings. For now, I am just a tree in a field.
You're more than just a tree. You're a talking tree, and you're a friend.
But if others knew, I would surely be in grave danger. Especially from the wicked forces which I intend to equip you and send you against. So, I will now give you a token of my esteem. It will allow you, at first, a modicum of ability to communicate with one another when you are separate. When any two of you are together and combine the gifts, you will be able to speak briefly with me, no matter where you are, as long as you are within the reach of my roots network, either my roots or the roots that are connected to me. I will watch over you the best I can using my contacts. I will reach out to you via the devices I will give you. Yeah. I will be able to speak to each of you individually, but it will take two or more of you to be able to speak to me directly. And then he says, I cry tears of joy at our meeting and at the possibility, at the hope that our friendship brings. And then his eyes flicker and you see like thick blue tears made of some kind of bluish green liquid that roll down the tree trunk. And they drop on the roots that are kind of wrapping around the base of the tree. And when they hit the base of the tree, they form what appears to be a stone. And it looks like this. And after a moment or so, there are six total stones. Two for each of you. Keep it up, please.
Thank you.
And you will notice that if you look at them in the dark.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
They glow in the dark.
Okay.
Okay. The actual stones that you received, there's tears look very similar to this, and they do glow in the dark. And then he says, you may use each stone to talk to one or both of your friends for a brief time each day, even when you are apart. Once the stone has been used three times for that purpose, it will go dormant for the day, and it will become available again at dawn the next day.
You can only use one of these stones three times a day.
Each one three times to talk to one or both of the other two people. So you can talk to both of them using one stone three times, and you use the second one three times, and then after that you're done. Or you can talk to just her once, and just her once, and then just her once, that's three times. Three uses to one or both of the other people. Okay? And when somebody contacts you, that will also use your uses on your stone. So it's both. So if she contacts you, that's one use on both stones. Okay?
But what if he just
He says, if any two of you get together and place a stone together, you will be able to briefly talk to me, as long as you are within the reach of my
roots. Okay, we put them together.
I don't really think we'll be going outside your roots anytime soon.
Also, I will be able to talk to you through the stones, and when I talk to you, it will not use the stone's power. Where are you to go next?
Well, we will probably head back to our hotel because in the morning we have a big journey ahead of us to the retreat.
Yes, you are headed to the Royal Retreat in near Southern Mist Cove.
I hope Rosie can come with us. I don't think so, though. We don't know where she came. All we know is her caravan got attacked or something.
You probably will be able to
actually, you know that they said that you were going to stay with them until they can make other arrangements because you're too young to travel by yourself. So
That's what they said. So you know that you're next, wherever they're going, that's where you'll be going next. So did you want to tell him that since he just said what he said? So what do you say?
I'm coming with it.
Come talk for her. Let her talk.
I might be able to come.
Okay.
I think I can.
Right? She says, I might be able to come. I think I can. Mm-hmm. And he says, even if you are separated,
I will still
work with each of you to overcome the growing evil in the land. However, because you have my secret to guard and our tasks to complete, I think you would be wise to stay together as much as possible. If something happens to one of you, then there will only be two. If something happens to two of you, that one of you will not have the ability to contact me. But be aware. However, know that I will be watching, listening, looking for an opportunity. And if you are in trouble, I may send you aid.
How would you send us aid?
Probably animals. They are my greatest resource.
Animals are my greatest friends.
What about bears?
Also, when and if you grow in power sufficiently, I will introduce you to the king of the chipmunks, and he will give you the ability to turn into a chipmunk, as some druids can be.
It's gonna be a chipmunk. That's
gonna your be names good. Are will be Dan the Timid.
Are we allowed to tell other people our names?
Like Selena the Gentle.
Just continue.
Timid.
Scared.
Scared. Fearful.
You're gonna be like.
Have you cut? You brought your sword in.
You're gonna be like Rosie the Ink.
Rosie the Magical.
Hey.
That's black and blue in your name now.
Oh, I still like them.
You don't have to go by them. It's just how he thinks of you.
Are we allowed to tell?
Once you show your courage, you'll get it again.
Are we allowed to tell, like, our new friends?
If you can't chop a willow tree that's 30 feet around at the base down with a sword, just for the record.
Yeah!
But there could have been a snake or something, I don't know.
Right. Are we allowed to tell our friends these names?
You may tell them the names. You may not tell them about me.
You tell them we made them
or
up.
Or your quest.
We made them up.
Yep.
In time, when you are strong enough to be safe on your own without the secrecy, you may enlist others to help in your quest to overcome the evil. But you must never tell of me, or me as a resource, or me as a protector, or that you work for me in any way. I assure you, I am comparably defenseless here out in the field. My branches cannot be used as weapons. The animals would protect me. But the only animals that come to me here in the field are generally small or avian.
What's avian mean?
Bird. There is a great horned owl that is in my branches above, but I would hate to see her have to protect me because she has young to care for.
Oh, man.
My secrecy, my being right out in the open and unknown is my greatest asset. I am entrusting it to you. Go to Southern Mist Cove. When you arrive at the retreat, near there is a young woman. Her name is Jeanette. She is a human. They might think of her as a child. But she is quick and wise. Currently, she lives in an orphanage, but she is abused by the headmaster. This is an evil you will end. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I will give you more information while you are at the retreat so that you can find the orphanage and Jeanette and the master and put his wickedness to an end by whatever means necessary. Hopefully.
Does that mean you can kill him?
Hopefully you will not have to kill him.
Hopefully.
But if you must, then you will act swiftly, for he is wicked to the core.
Bye.
One last thing. As your actions bring joy to my deepest parts, I will shed additional tears, and I will let you know so that you can come and get them. Also, I will try again to recruit others, and if others are recruited, then I will give them my tears and connect them with you so that we can form a larger force for good.
What happens if nobody ends up coming to you? And
it has been that way now for a decade. I don't hope. I have barely any hope that anyone else will respond. But the three of you can collect my tears, which will give you greater ability to be connected to one another and to me. When they are sufficient, they will have additional abilities in larger number. The ability to heal or to do magic.
I'm gonna learn how to do magic on my own.
Do you have any more questions?
No, sir.
The sun creeps toward the horizon. You must be back in your room. No one must know that you went out. I will have the animals cover your tracks the best I can. But if they come looking for me, they will find just a tree. Not my face. But someone might grow suspicious. And it would be a stone's throw toward my secret getting out, which is our greatest asset, and we must defend it. I hope I have been clear. Go then. Return to your room.
Okay.
Speak only privately of anything we have spoken of here.
Really?
I will contact you when you reach the retreat, so that you may spare Jeanette her torture.
Do you want us to not use the stone in front of other people?
It should not matter, but realize they are a valuable resource. If you use it in front of someone who can take it from you, you will likely lose it. Even though they probably will not work for anyone else. Just the fact that they glow and have a magical aura would make them worth many gold coins.
Okay.
I have entrusted you with my tears. Please take care of them.
Nobody will know about our secret.
If you succeed in your quest to save Jeanette, I may have other actions on the outskirts of Southernless Cove that you may take. And if you travel back this way to the capital when you return home, and if Rosie is still with you at that time, you may be able to gain more tears on your passage back, assuming you can find time to get away and stop and see me. You will not be able to come here often, for fear of the secret getting out.
You have made that clear.
But I foresee a time in the very near future where Jeanette's plight resonates deep within me. I will not get into the gruesome details, but she must be spared.
What do you want us to do with Jeanette? Just save her?
Yes. And you might recruit her to our cause, but you mustn't tell her about me until we are certain that she can be trusted.
Do you have a name?
My name in your tongue would translate simply to old tears.
Old tears.
Owanshika. In the wind language. Owanshika.
Owanshika.
Old tears.
We call you old tears.
You may call me anything you wish, but to my face, you will respect my name.
Yes, sir.
Go then. Be sleeping when they come to check on you. Hide your stones, but it will glow in the dark.
You show me them. I'll just put them in my bag.
I'm going to put mine in my pocket and then under the blanket.
And then the glow fades and the face kind of becomes hard again, like the bark of the tree, and it just looks solid. There's no life in it.
Let's go. Bye. I run. I don't want to get back.
I kind of do just jog a little bit. Okay. So you have to get back.
Right. Are you three of you basically sticking together so you pick some pace that you can all make?
Yes.
Okay. You're all
I'm
pretty
like in the middle of running and jogging.
We're all tired.
Yeah, so
oh, so you can get back, so you can get a little rest anyway.
Let's go.
Okay, so you run back, you cross the little stream. At about the stream, as you're coming up the hill on the opposite side, you look back and you see the willow tree, and it's shadowed, and you can see the very tops of it just kind of catching a little bit of orangish yellow light, because it is tall. Like the tree from top to bottom is probably like 150 feet tall. So it's tall, as tall as like a 10-story building. It's very big. You can see just a little bit of the rays of the sun, and you look in that direction, you can see an orangish hue on the eastern horizon indicating the sun is rising, but there's no actual light there, just the hue in the sky.
Okay.
But at the top of the tree, you can just make out a thin little bit of sun that's hitting it. And then the same in the far distance on the mountain ridges. You can see the tops of them are lit up. The sun's already up high enough to hit the tops. And then as you're looking downhill, you can see about a dozen chipmunks and squirrels, and they are cooperating to run around in the grass and mar your footprints.
How cute.
That is so cute. But we gotta hurry back.
And it's like... adorable.
Yeah. All right, let's hurry back.
Go.
Okay. You cross an area where the grass is shallower, and you see several, four or five snakes, three black and two brown. The brown ones are coming from the left. And as you're running, they're headed to kind of behind you. And they are, again, they're pushing through the low grasses and mixing up your tracks.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
Roll a d20 if you would.
Cool. Four. That's a very low number. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's good.
Good.
Okay, and so the brown snake, as they're kind of like converging on your path, so they're going behind you, they're not coming towards you, but as he's going that way, he gets within about 10 foot of you, and you're pretty sure he hisses at you and says, you don't really get the language, but you kind of get the impression that he's saying, "You must hurry, the sun is rising."
Only she gets it, though.
Right, only she gets it.
I quietly say, okay, and I tell my friends, faster!
Okay.
And I yell.
So you hit the flat, grassy area that's the edge of town. You see the dozen or so buildings, the wagons parked, and you see there are a few people awake. There's a stable boy who's working at the stables. One of the wagoners is checking over the wagons, and you like, crouching near the edge of town, you're looking for how you're going to get back in and not get seen. And then you realize that you can kind of go toward the stables, and the stable boy is going in and out,
And when he's inside, you should be able to get past. And you also remember that there were guards at the back of the inn last night that you just kind of like slipped behind them when they weren't looking. So you don't know if there will be guards there for sure.
All right.
Okay. So the three of you run toward the stables. Everybody roll a d20 as you're trying to move quietly.
I got a 3.
I got a 6. Thank
you,
Adam.
You can put your money out on the table. Here, you can use it.
And take my money out.
Yep, the one that has the most sides. It's toward you. Yep, right there. Yep.
And take my money out today.
That, that generates a number between 1 and 20. Ooh, that's a high number. Okay. And then
I can't believe we have 2 tiers.
So the way the dice roll works is if you're rolling a stat check, like you're checking against your numbers on your paper, then you roll this and you try to get equal or less. Okay? And if you're rolling a saving throw, you try to get equal or above. You don't have your saving throws written down yet. But they're not very good because you're zero level. So.
Neither of you guys wondering why I said okay.
No, I didn't really notice.
Yeah, everybody was running, so.
Yeah, so
I really didn't notice.
I didn't listen to them.
Even if they were wondering, they didn't say anything. So.
Uh-huh. I probably would have said something.
I whispered and said, okay.
There you go. All right, and so you guys wait until the stable boy is inside the stables, and then you dash across the front of the stables. There's a horse that's tied up there, and the horse definitely sees the three of you. There's no doubt about that, but he doesn't panic or make a loud noise or anything. And then you're at the back corner of the inn. Now, the yard is, like, graying. It's a light gray. It's not dark like it's dark outside anymore. There's enough light over the horizon that you're sure humans can probably see fairly normally, although... You know that shadows and things at distance tend to blur together when they're like that, and all elves are kind of familiar with that, being wood hunters and so on.
Is Lexi an elf?
Yes. Yeah, she's from the Freismoon Protectorate. Yeah. You guys are from the Outlands. She's from the Freismoon Protectorate. Okay? And so then you get to the corner of the inn, there's a large rain barrel there, and because you're all pretty small, like when you squat down, like you're not being seen. All three of you roll a d6, and the lowest number is the one at the rain barrel side who has to look and see when you might be able to slip past the guards.
Five. That's not gonna be me.
Right.
4
is her. Okay.
So you're at the rain barrel, and then she is next to you, and then he is next to her, and you're all squatted down. So you basically have to look around the rain barrel and look and see when the guards are not looking to try to slip in the back door of the inn. And you know that the stairs are right there. Once you get inside and you're headed upstairs, you just have to hope that you don't run into somebody on the stairs. There's really nothing you can do about it. Unless somebody has another plan.
Nope, that's nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Okay.
My only plan is
not. So you're looking, roll a check versus wisdom. If you're making an assessment as to when to run, d20.
14.
Okay. So you're watching the guy, and he's basically kind of just wandering around, and there's a bathrooms there, like outhouses, and there's a well, and then there's the back door, and it has 2 steps up. And you recall that the back door was free swinging, and it didn't make a loud noise, so it shouldn't be a problem getting in as far as that goes. Looking at him, you think that when he's at the far side, when he's furthest away, right before he would turn around, there should be time for all three of you to make the run, as long as like nobody trips or whatever, to go in the back door at the same time.
But if we saw someone, and it's like a normal citizen, couldn't we just go, hello? Like
they won't know.
Yeah, probably normal citizen. But most of the people that are staying in the inn are from your caravan. They're people that you're traveling with. You've got 8 knights and 4 wagoners and 4 shotgun riders. We have the crossbows. And then the other pages. So there's quite a few.
But the other pages, we could also just go, hello.
Yeah, but the point is if they see you, they'll know you came in from outside. So then if somebody starts asking, like, where were you or where did you go, then you'll have a problem. So you're trying to avoid that.
Well,
wouldn't Rosie not get in that much trouble, wouldn't me and Selena get in more trouble because the people from the caravan know us, not Rosie?
Yeah, probably a little bit.
But if they ask,
but the point is, if you're coming in from outside,
plus out. Couldn't say plus out.
You can try that. If that happens, then that can be your plan.
It's okay. My plan.
All right. So, do you tell them that it looks like all three of you can run at the same time if you go on your queue, basically?
Yeah.
Okay. So she says we can all go at the same time, and I think we'll make it if we're on your queue.
Is there anything? Is there any like small rocks near us? Possibly be able to be picked up.
Sure.
Can I throw a rock far enough that it could get the knight's distraction?
So first of all, he's a guard, not a knight. But,
guard, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
Like,
but it might backfire. Because what if he goes towards where it came from, not where it is?
That's the point. You throw it where he doesn't know, but you make a loud noise.
Yeah, so he is definitely probably going to look in the direction of where it lands, but whether or not he hears it fly and looks where it came from, that's what she's saying.
Oh. Well, that was just one of my options if we can't run.
Okay, anyway, so she's telling you she thinks if you go at the right time, you can all three go. Now, you can break up. Like only one or two people go, that will increase the likelihood that the first group makes it through. And then whoever's left would have to look and see what the right time to go is and go on their own. But also, if you're spread out, then that increases the likelihood that somebody's going to spot you because you're a much bigger group. So what do you want to do?
I don't know.
Well, you're the one next to the rain barrel, so.
I mean, is there any place, Selena, that
definitely don't want to go out front because there could be any number of people out there.
Yeah. Selena, is there possible a way anywhere where I could throw a rock that would possibly get the guard's attention?
It's possible, but if the guard hears it being thrown or smart enough to look at where he thinks it came from, we're done for.
I know, but is there any, like, I could possibly throw it against metal or something? Get the guard's attention.
There's the well, but
again, if he hears it being thrown, or he's smart enough to go look at where it's thrown from, we're done.
All right, let's just stick with your plan. I do grab one or two rocks with me.
Okay. You can put two rocks on your garbage table. You have two rocks.
I'm not gonna bring them inside.
Oh, okay. All right.
Temporary. I just grab them for temporary.
So are you all going to try to go at the same time then? Is that the plan?
Let's go.
Okay. So you watch and you cue them to go. You jump up from behind the rain barrel and you run toward the back door, quiet as possible, right?
Yep.
Roll a d20. Oh, in fact, all three of you can roll right now. We'll just do it all in one shot. Okay, this is Selena.
I'm so nervous.
This is...
I got an
15.
11.
This
one?
Yep.
Yes.
I got 15.
Just look for a 20 on it.
6.
That's a 9.
That's a
the
9.
It's on the bottom.
Nine.
The dot shows you what the bottom is because 6 and 9 look exactly the same, but that's a 6 with the dot on the bottom, and that's a 9 with the dot on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we draw.
I'm 11.
Okay, so what's your dex?
16.
And what's your dex? Should be the second one, I think.
The D.
Anyway. Okay, what's your dex?
13.
Okay.
And I wrote
it. So all three of you break from cover and run. Pretty quietly, elves are known for that. Selena gets to the door first, and she swings the door open, and as expected, it doesn't squeak, at least not loudly. And then you step inside, and you're clearly in for sure before the guy would possibly look. You're definitely in before the guy would possibly look, and then you're the last one there, and you have to make sure the door doesn't slam. So as you're pulling the door shut, you see that he's just turning around to look, but the door is almost shut, and then you don't see him anymore. It's a hardwood door. It doesn't have a window or a screen. And you pull it shut, and you're trying to be very gentle so that it doesn't make a noise. Okay? Roll a d20.
Okay. Okay. You didn't make it. I got an 8.
Okay. So you pull the door shut, and then you're standing there, and your heart's pounding in your chest. You're breathing quietly but heavily, and you're listening to see if he's approaching the door. Okay? Meanwhile, are you headed up the stairs?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're charging up the stairs. There's nobody in the... So you look into the common room. Straight down this hallway is the common room. The big room where everybody eats and drinks and stuff, and the bar is to the right. And you can see that there's still quite a few people sleeping on the floor. So, and you have not heard roosters crowing yet in town, even though the sun is coming up, so they haven't started crowing yet. And then... How's going the music?
I kind of want to talk to Dan.
She's between him and you, and you're at the base of the stairs, and he's at the door listening to see if the guard heard anything. So what do you want to do?
Oh, I don't have the rocks anymore.
I'm just getting back to the room.
All right, so you charge up the stairs. Now, your room was right at the top of the stairs because it was like a little closet. Looked like it was like a cleaning closet or something that they converted. Like a 4-foot by 6-foot room.
Okay. I'm doing what Dan would want me to do is get to safety.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get up to the top of the stairs. Roll a d20.
That's what I'm thinking in my head is I'm doing what Dan wants me to do.
Okay.
Run.
All right, so you charge up the stairs pretty quietly. You charge up after her pretty quietly. You get to the top of the stairs, and just as your head is about to come up level with the thing, you see a light upstairs, and somebody's moving down the main hallway with a lantern. And so you have to stop on the stairs and let them go on if that's what they're going to do. Hopefully they're not coming toward the stairs. And so you stop. You're waiting. And then you see the light kind of fades as it goes down the hallway in the other direction.
And I'm repeating my excuse in my head.
Okay. And then you go up on the landing and you go to your door, which is unlocked. And you open the door. It does creak. Not loudly, but there's definitely a noise. You hit the top of the stairs. She's opened the door and stepped inside, and she leaves it open so you can step in. Meanwhile, you listen at the door. It sounds like he's just continuing to walk his normal path. And you look and you see the in room is asleep and the stairs are right there.
I go up the stairs.
All right, so you run up the stairs. Roll a d20.
15. Is that
loud? That's 12.
Not like that. Yeah.
The 12.
I'm good at door creaks. Some of them.
Okay, so you're charging up the stairs and trying to be quiet. And obviously, it's a nerve-wracking situation. As you're halfway up the stairs, you see Rosie leave the top of the stairs and dash across the hallway into the room. On improvision, mind you, because it's dark inside. So you see her heat signature right across the... As you get about 3 steps from the top, you trip over the step and fall up the last 2 steps and hit your shin. And you take 1 point of damage. And you're laying on the top floor. So no one's here right now, but that obviously made a noise, so it could attract some attention.
Is he injured?
Yeah, he took 1 point of damage. He bruised his shin.
I'm out. Go right back in the room.
So jump right up and run in. All right. And you hold the door open for him so he can slip inside. The door is closed.
Everybody.
And
did you see me fall? Mm-hmm. Did Ariana possibly see me fall?
Yeah, because she was standing at the door. So yeah, you saw him trip.
I go pocket, in, blanket, close eyes.
Okay, so she puts her stones in her pocket, jumps under her blanket, and lays down, tries to go to sleep.
In the bag.
Or pretends to be sleeping.
Oh, that hurt. All right, I'm going to lay down.
So you go lay down. All right, now are you laying down as well? Okay, yeah. So everybody's laying down. Stones are all put away. So there's no glowing stones.
Now she just needs to get on her head. And she's laying down on the pillow.
Yeah, no. Okay. Anyway, it is not even 10 minutes. And you hear heavy footsteps in the hallway, and somebody bangs on your door. We're getting up in 15 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just like tired.
Okay, you moan. Okay. All right. And then you hear footsteps. You go down to another door. Getting up in 15 minutes.
Technically, you're waking us up. You're waking us up right now.
Yeah, well, you don't have to get up right now. You have to get up in 15 minutes.
Alright,
you can roll over and go back to sleep for up to 15 minutes.
Can we get up now?
Yeah.
Alright,
do anything you want, unless I tell you you can't.
I'm staying asleep.
I get up and go to the window to see if any of the shops are open. Well, I don't think I can go to the shops anyways.
I sound like you. Yeah,
they probably wouldn't be open this early.
Well, I at least go check and see if the sun's are up
over the tree to see the trees.
Dad, do I smell?
No. So your your window in this faces east. It faces the main road. So you can oversee about half the buildings. You do see there is what looks to be a general store, a restaurant, several house-looking things, some most of which have animals in the yard. Then that's about what you see. And very little activity. Somebody's sweeping a porch. That's about it.
Alright. So the sun's not over yet.
5 minutes later, you begin to hear footsteps in the hallway, heavy footsteps.
Am I asleep?
I'm not awake. I'm not asleep.
Yeah, I'll say yes. You were pretty tired, so yeah.
I am not asleep right now.
I am.
20-minute nap won't do much. Now remember, you did sleep in the wagon.
Very much.
And give me your chin, and be like your son.
I don't even have my chin.
Yes, you did in gaming.
I guess I hit my shin. Or is it my chin? Is it my chin or shin?
It's chin. Did he hurt his chin or his chin?
Shin.
Like that. Is it like this?
Shin.
That's like
right here. He's playing in character.
This thing.
Oh!
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't even hard.
Right here, I didn't say ow, I said oh.
And here's your what?
Right here, my legs hurt.
Oh, did you rattle out or something? Okay, so the roosters begin to crow quite proficiently. The animals are awake. People start to wake up in town. And your footsteps and you hear, time to get up. Breakfast downstairs. Train's moving out in 15 minutes.
Ooh, breakfast.
Great.
All right.
I'm going to get up and get dressed and everything.
I get up and put everything away.
Christmas present.
I put my stones in my pouch, my money pouch.
Okay, sounds good. Alright.
My stones are still in my pocket.
My stones are in my pocket. I just woke up.
They're not in my pocket.
Okay, so I assume you drag yourselves groggily toward breakfast.
Breakfast!
Dressed, taking all of your equipment with you in case it's time to go. Right?
Exhausted
because
I was up all night.
I just sleep to bed.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep. You got about 2.5 hours.
And if people ask me why we're exhausted, We couldn't sleep, so we went on a midnight walk.
Nope, we're not going to say that. Okay. I'm just going to say I couldn't sleep because I was on the floor and there was not enough room in the bed.
Yeah, if you admit you were outside, you could start the problem.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, at breakfast, which breakfast is scrambled eggs, little ham steaks, biscuits, and white country gravy.
Ooh,
and,
I don't like gravy.
And water from the well. Okay?
Do I like gravy in the game?
Thank you. It's your character.
Yeah, I love gravy.
Okay, then put in your character. Yeah, I don't like gravy.
I don't like gravy.
Okay. So the gravy is on the biscuits, so you either have to eat you can of the biscuits or just skip the biscuits altogether.
I did skip the biscuits.
All right. Anyway, so you're sitting down eating. The in-room pretty well fills up. There's people that are getting up off the floor that were spending the night on the floor, that kind of thing. And then the other pages are there, and the squires are there, and the knights are there, and the guards are there. And so it's pretty busy. And people are getting their breakfast, and they're taking their stuff out, loading the wagons like that. At which point in time, you hear a commotion outside. Something is going on out front of the inn. And quite a few people from the in-room go and look and see what it is.
Are you going
to look, or are you staying in the...
Sunny was in my room the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. He did bring him with you.
Did you feed him?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to check what that is as well.
Okay, so Dan is going to look outside and see what the commotion is about.
We're back, guys.
Anybody else going out? Are either of you going to look as well? How about you? You want to go see what it's about?
It's not lunch.
Okay, well, you're eating breakfast. You can take what's left of it with you if you want.
Okay,
that's what I do.
Okay, and that's what most people do. They're standing there, got the metal plate, and they're eating their food while they watch. All right, so what you see outside is one of the knights. He's broad-shouldered. He has red hair, but it's trimmed close to his head. It's only like an inch in every direction. And he's got a mustache and a short goatee. He's standing there in authority. And one of the guards,
is kneeling on the ground in front of him. And there are two other guards that have just brought him, and he basically threw him down on the ground in front of him. And there's a hushed tone in the crowd, is murmuring and talking and that kind of thing. And the knight says, "What do you have to say to these charges?" And one of the squires who's next to you, who is John, says to Dan, and the two of you overhear him, but he says to Dan, he says, "He got in trouble. The guard said he snuck out in the middle of the night."
Okay.
And the man says, I throw myself on your mercy, my lord. I did indeed sneak out."
Alright. So, I don't want to overhear this conversation anymore. Okay. I go back to the table.
Okay, so Dan is leaving, moving back in the inn.
I'm staying out here. I
want to
know what's happening.
Okay. Alright. So they,
Why walk past... Do I walk past one of them?
Yeah, they were... Well, they were standing right next to you.
Oh. Well, before I leave, I whisper to Rosie to tell Selena that... if they didn't hear that the guy snuck out.
Okay.
Can you tell Selena?
So he says, "Tell Selena that the guy snuck out." And then he heads back in the inn. Right? Are you staying out or are you going in?
Staying out.
Are you staying out?
Yes.
Okay. So the knight says... And he looks at the two guards that brought him. He says, "Has he been in trouble before? You know you were given specific orders not to leave the inn." And
that's why
you,
I'm out.
There's a big crowd that's watching. So probably 70% of the people in the caravan are watching to see what happens. And so that's probably putting a lot, you think that's putting a lot of pressure on the knight on what to do. And he says, the one guard says, "He has, my lord. This is his third transgression. He's sneaking out an awful lot there. I would dock your pay, but I imagine that's already been done." Yes, my lord. Last time, 2 weeks' pay." He says, "I wasn't gone long." "You went in direct violation of orders." And he reaches over, he steps over to the guy, and he reaches down and grabs him by the chest. He's wearing leather armor and shirt, and he picks him up off the ground, and he says, "You are dismissed.
What's that?
If I see your face again, 7 lashes of the whip."
I'm not here as well.
"Oh, my lord. How will I get back to civilization?" "It's a 2-day walk. That way." And the guy looks like scared. He says, "Unless you want the lashes now." "No, my lord. Forgive me." And the redheaded man says, "Forgiveness is not in my nature." You're not there. And the two guards grab him and kind of hustle him in the direction of away from the rest of the people and away from the crowd. And they, you hear him say something like, "Be on your way then." And the knight turns and looks at the crowd and he says, "It is unfortunate when people of any station are found wanting in their duty." Roll a d20.
Why? 8.
You are fairly certain that when he said that, his eyes settled specifically on you.
Why?
Not sure, but he said when people of any station are found wanting in their duty, and when he stopped speaking, he was looking directly at you. So, and then he turns away and he says, "Very well. There is nothing more to see here. The caravan will roll out in 10 minutes. If you've not eaten, I suggest you do it now. And we will not be stopping for the first few hours."
I just kind of, when he looks at me, I just kind of look normal.
And I'm not looking away or anything. I look back at him, but I don't look scared because I'm not scared of him.
Poker face, got it.
Not scared of him.
Okay.
I'm not scared of you, so I'm not scared of you.
Right. So you look all the way
back. I have a tree.
Got it.
I have his tears.
I'm not
scared of you.
Okay. Yep. So you guys finish up your breakfast. You pack up your wagons.
What?
Rosie is informed that you will indeed be traveling back to Southern Miss Cove. And they have not located your cousins yet. That's still up in the air. So you'll either reconnect with your cousins in Southern Miss Cove if they locate them, or otherwise they will make arrangements for you to have, at some point in time, have safe passage home.
I ask Selena what was going on out there.
Ask her.
Do you know what was going on out there? Like, what happened?
I said... Yeah, I basically explained.
Just tell him. You don't have to say I explained. Just talk. Let's role play.
She said that he needs to leave, and if he sees his face again, it's seven lashes worth of it. And a little bit later on, after they had a little bit more of the conversation, he said it is unfortunate. For any person of station to not listen to an order, and his eyes laid on me.
Why you?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I left is because if they saw him going out, that means we could have got caught. But luckily we didn't. Which is a good thing, but...
And I presume you're being very careful about where you have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Everyone's
called to the wagons. You will ride.
Okay.
The pages will ride at first.
Okay.
And they said the caravan will not be stopping for the first 3 hours. So you have to make sure you use the bathroom before you go. All right. You mount up. The caravan rolls out. Within about 3 hours, Southern Miss Cove is in view. There's mountains on your right. And then you see a sprawling metropolis, and you actually see a dam that's got to be 60 or feet high or more blocking the river. And then the water in the river goes into the city, and you see lots and lots of houses and buildings that are 4 and 5 and 6 stories tall in many cases. But you're not actually going to the town. Just this side of the town, on the edge of the mountains, there is a sprawling estate, and you're on a slightly higher elevation, so you see like hedgerows marking off all different green grass areas, a beautiful palace-like building. The building is white marble or some kind of shiny stone, has towers, and the main building itself is 6 stories. And so that's the retreat, and it does have a low-lying wall about 4.5 feet tall with little iron spikes on top of it, like a fence that goes all the way around. And around noonish or so, the caravan slowly rolls into the postern gate, and then about 12:30, you make your way in, and everyone is helping to unpack the caravan and put all the stuff away and like that. The servants come out, and a couple of knights go and greet them. There's about 20 servants that work in the royal retreat, but obviously it's all for the princess, and she's not here, so. They come out and introduce themselves, that kind of thing, and then they set about, and then you're assigned small chambers, not unlike the ones that you had at the palace, but instead of being on a long, cold stone hallway with an arrow slit for a window across the way, this is inside in a warm house, and it's on upstairs wood. It's got a hard wooden floor that leads to the doors, and the walls are white, and you have your own door, and you have a lock on your door, but no key to lock it. Okay, and it's
so
about a.
Three of us are in our own room.
Each one has your own room, and you're all in the same hallway. Okay?
Excellent.
And we will stop there for today. Could be any time to do experience. All right?
I don't want to do experience. I just want to keep going.
No, we're going to do experience.
Can we skip experience today?
Nope.
Why?
We just want to keep up on it so we don't forget. Okay? So you had the encounter with the willow tree, sneaking back into the inn, and arriving at the retreat. All right. So
Selena is getting 7 experience.
I also talked.
To the snake.
More like listen, but yeah.
Still.
Okay, and.
I did talk.
Rosie is getting 4. So on your sheets up there. Don't lose your stones. Your sheet's up there. So you're gonna write in the back of the box 4 experience points.
Did you only buy 6 stones?
No. I have not. Because he's going to give you more as he cries his tear.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Found it.
A giant bag of 3 stones, please.
Yep.
That's a lot. How are we gonna put them all the same? How are we gonna tell them apart?
You don't need to tell them apart. Why would you need to tell them apart?
Because some of them...
Like which one you got first or whatever?
No, because some of them can heal.
They all have the same abilities.
Because
when you have more stones, you can do greater abilities. Like if you have 6 stones, then you can do...
Yeah.
Maybe cast a spell or whatever your abilities are.
I take out stone for gold.
Dan got 10.
I got 10 experience.
Yep.
All you need to do is take out the stone, put it in your hand. All
right, and then everybody has to roll wisdom. So roll your d20 versus wisdom to see if you can add to it.
So that nobody sees my stone, I put it in my hand, I close it, I make a clap with my finger, and I go...
Yeah.
91 experience.
Getting up there. Rosie's got 4. She's just getting
Rosie.
Started.
It's okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Roll a d20.
91 and 4.
Did you already have... Oh, let me see that. Let me see your paper. Did you already have... Did we already give you some before? Oh, no. You just wrote 3 instead of 4. Let me see. I got you. Roll a d20. Oh, and you know, because you got 3 last time. So you have 3 plus 4.
Is that 7?
Yep.
It's 16.
How much did
your
I get?
Is 16 exactly. So you made it. So that means you get an extra... 2.
How much do I get?
You got 7, and you're rolling your wisdom.
I don't roll wisdom, do I?
Yep. Everybody rolls wisdom.
Oh.
You're just not as good at it. Not today. We're going to be done for today.
11. Wisdom.
It's close.
5. And my wisdom is 16.
13.
Great. Okay, so you made it. Yep, so add 4 more.
Yeah, 4 more.
You made it?
Let's go.
I made it. No. I wrote a 5 and my wisdom is 16.
That means you made it. Because you're rolling equal or less. And
I'm
you get 4 more as well.
5 experience.
Yeah.
I just need 5 more experience, I think.
Okay. So there will be a meeting not long after you get there to talk about what your duties are going to be and to make arrangements for like getting training and stuff. But we're not going to do that today. We'll do that next time.
What? I can't add this in.
You can just fold down.
Did you take mine?
Yes, I put it in.
Oh, I need
to start. We'll add that up later.
I think this might be my bag.
Special thank you to Brother Tony Tate for coming to get Rosie's player, Coriana, to take her home. That was very nice. Now I'm going to take Ariana home.
Where is Coriana? That's Rosie. I don't see her.
It's Rosie until I push this button. And then it's Coriana.
Oh, I didn't know I had 2 lapis.
You're ready to be Coriana again. Ready? Sound effects are stopping. And this has been Palace Pages, January 2024.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.